Hey, everybody. This is Judge David Johnson. I've got Judge Mac McIntyre right here.
I'm right here.
And we, as we sometimes do here at DVD Verdict, we do special podcasts devoted to postmortems of TV series, beloved TV series. And about 6 minutes ago, the Smallville series finale aired and wrapped up 10 seasons rather, worth of proto Superman storytelling. And Mac and I just jumped right on. I thought we would give our quick impressions. In fact, I really just sent you a Facebook message. You know, I asked you how you thought it was. You liked it. I liked it. I thought we would just quickly get out what we liked about it. In fact, Mac, I'll just say I really, really liked it. I thought it was a great finale.
Yeah, I totally agree. I was right there with it throughout the whole thing. Just got really caught up into it, and just a really solid wrap up to everything that the show's been through over the last few years.
And I was a comic book guy, and I tend to always go here this line of questioning with you. But what did you think of the final Superman payoff? And again, we're going to be very spoilery here, so although it shouldn't come to any surprise that obviously we got the tights and we got the flights. So it came at the end. You know, they saved it to the end, but we did. You know. They still kind of danced around a little bit. So you didn't see Tom Welling stand up in a suit. You know, there were some action shots, some pullback action shots, and a sweet money payoff shot at the end. But what did you think of the actual Superman representation?
The actual reveal there.
Yeah.
I thought it was really well done. We didn't get the full on shot of Tom Welling in the outfit. That's true. They kind of danced around it, but. Thinking about it, I think that's probably a good thing because the show is always – the focus is Clark and mm-hmm. not Superman. So they kept that as the focus. And so I thought it worked for what it did. I mean, we got to see the outfit. You know, I kept saying I wanted to see red boots. I saw red boots.
That's right.
So I'm good. I thought it was very well done. Seeing him in the outfit there, I'm especially thinking of the shots with Lois aboard Air Force One.
Right.
And
a lot of callbacks to, you know, like Superman Returns maybe, or even, you know, the first Superman, right? You always have Superman saving a jet from catastrophe.
And also callbacks to some of the classic comics.
Sure.
There are various versions of the story, but usually it's Lois is aboard a plane when they first meet.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever. But that was kind of... The way they filmed it, it wasn't just him in the outfit. It was him sort of, you know, larger than life.
Yeah.
It was
yeah.
like this is where he becomes a legend.
Yes.
Know? And so it was filmed in such a way that, you know, when we actually see the red boots and see the whole outfit that, you know, it's like it's not just him in the costume. It's, you know, it's him becoming the icon.
That's right. So it's not like he's not trying it out and looking in a mirror or anything, you know,
right.
Looking like the 360-degree mirror from what not to wear. It's like the transition's pretty quick, you know. He hits the Fortress of Solitude, has a pretty good heart-to-heart with my man Terrence Stamp. I liked it that John Schneider, or the ghost of John Schneider, whoever he is, gave him the suit, you know. I kind of liked that synergy with his two fathers, you know, and then he just really just takes off and... Commercial break, of course, but I think you make a good point. So it's all action shots, you know, and it's absolutely him, you know, becoming this this iconic force. So now I will, you know, kind of trolling some of the forums, you know, reading some real time stuff. There seemed to be some disappointment in his kind of face off with Darkseid. You know, and I've been critical of Smallville in the past, like in season 8 when it was the Doomsday storyline. And I thought that the end battle scene with Doomsday was pretty terrible. I thought they got it better in season 9 with Zod. But I really did not have any big problems about that way, the way that went down, to tell you the truth, just because the payoff of him flying was so huge, you know.
Right.
So, I mean... I don't know if that makes me hypocritical or whatnot, you know. So, yeah, they didn't exchange blows. And, yeah, it was Lionel Luthor who was possessed with John Glover walking around with a deep voice. But, to be fair, and I'll be fair to the writers, Darkseid was never really set up as this kind of corporeal foe that Superman had to fight. He was always more metaphorical, you know. And that could chap some people, I suppose, especially Darkseid being, you know, having such a, you know, impressive resume as far as villainy goes. But I thought that was, I thought it was fairly consistent because he was like this presence, really. You know, he wasn't like, you know, this, this flesh and blood bad guy in an evil headquarters, like a James Bond headquarters or something, villain headquarters or something. So I thought it was okay. And plus him flying and then blasting him into charred remains, I thought that was, I thought that worked. So I didn't have a big problem with that.
Yeah, I, you know, I agree. I thought the, you know, Darkseid was kind of just sort of in the background throughout the whole thing.
Yeah.
Just kind of an implied menace. Well, I mean, there was the big, the planet, but
sure,
besides
right.
that, the character himself was always just sort of an implied menace and not really in their face. So, you know, big confrontation, I think it was kind of a step along the way up to the finale and not the finale itself.
I agree. Yeah, I agree. And it was like, it was like the last rung of the ladder,
right.
you know? And I was fine with that because, you know, that's what, you know, we wanted to see those last 10 minutes be devoted really to that becoming a Superman. And what did you think of the 7 years flash forward at the very end?
Yeah, that was interesting. I don't know. Well, I mean, my first thought was, do we really need it? But then I'm thinking about, well, I guess we probably did because it gave us the money shot at the end.
That's right. And it gave us the John Williams score, which I thought was fantastic.
Yes. They've always been very judicious about bringing back the John Williams
right.
Score, but they always know just right when to bring it out for the big moments. And I've always liked that about the show. We never heard it in the whole first season. They didn't bring it out until the second season when he first learned what Krypton was. And
okay.
that was such a huge moment. It's like, oh my God, they played the John Williams game. So,
I mean, you're talking about judicious. Yeah. I mean, they had to really kind of dole out those moments. You know, they had 10 seasons, you know, so you couldn't blow everything all at once.
Right.
But this was just like a sustained, you know, this was just a sustained orchestral, you know, rendition. And I thought it was nice because it worked because prior to that 7 years, that flash forward, it was Clark's story. So you had Smallville music. So this one really felt very Superman, you know, it was Superman, you know,
totally.
The characterization, you know, Lois and Clark in the Daily Planet. That was great. You know, the Perry White stuff, the little cameo by what's his face is Jimmy Olsen. You know,
right.
I can't remember his name. Obviously he died in season 8, but that was a great little, that was a great cameo. And then
was that the line about something about your brother?
Yeah. Yeah. In season 8. Yeah. There was a Jimmy Olsen in like the last bunch of seasons, kind of Chloe's love interest. He dies in season 8. but then you realize that he's got a little brother, you know? So that's kind of that little payoff there.
You know, but Chloe once died as well. So you know.
They've all died, right? I mean, they've all died at some point. Yeah, so, I mean, real quick, you know, we're talking about what the money shot is, and, if I had to guess, I thought, I don't know, maybe he flies with Lois, or he's in space, and he does the, you know, the right arm rudder turn that Christopher Reeve mastered. But I thought this was perfect, actually. Kind of a slow motion, you know, running across the roof, opening up his shirt, you know, obviously, you know, that, the very iconic, obviously. And just seeing the S, so great payoff, and you know, just like this chapter's closed, you know.
Right. It didn't really have to be anything more.
Right.
Yeah. The stuff with Chloe and the kid in the framing sequence, that was the stuff that I was like, do we really need this? But
yep.
But the Daily Planet stuff in the 7 years in the future was just totally retro.
Yeah.
And but that made it fun. That made it enjoyable. It's like this is what's, you know, the past 10 years of what's shaped them into the classic characters we all know. And that was kind of the mission statement from the beginning. And despite more than a few ups and downs over the last 10 years.
I mean, even last week's episode I thought was shaky too, you know. So, I mean, there was more than a few episodes this season I thought were hit or miss, right. You know. And actually, you know, that whole the 7-year flash forward is a callback to the Homecoming episode, which was like episode 10. Or something where Brainiac comes back in time and takes Clark forward, and he gets to see his Superman self and his relationship with Lois. So, and that's essentially the kind of the same. That's that reality that we had seen. You know,
interesting.
So, again,
I think at this point we should kind of dial it back a little bit because you and I are coming at this finale from two different perspectives.
Yeah, good point.
I watched the show for the first couple of seasons and then eventually lost interest.
Yes.
They were kind of going through a downtime creatively. Whereas you, correct me if I'm wrong, you didn't really join the show until the last couple of seasons.
Really? Yeah, really. Like, watched the first season, you know, out of curiosity, just never glommed onto it. Again, just didn't find the high school shenanigans as interesting. You know, I mean, obviously I could see how people found it interesting, but I'm always kind of like, oh, let's get on with it, you know. Like, why is he wasting his time with Lana Lang? I mean, he's not ending up with her, you know. So, enough. So really, had, you know, totally tuned out for everything up to season 8. I got season 8 sent to me to review, kind of a surprise, didn't even ask for it, you know. And we just started watching it, got into it, had some of its rough spots. But season 8 is really where he's in Metropolis, you know. It's in Metropolis. It feels like we're getting into Superman. Lois Lane is there. I mean, this is right after Lex Luthor left the show. Michael Rosenbaum left the show. So it was a big change. So I just kind of jumped on board when it home stretch, feeling like Superman. And that, you know, that connected to me, and I enjoyed the chemistry with Lois Lane, and then season. So I've been 8, 9, and 10. I've been watching religiously. So yeah, that is interesting. I come at the end. You came at the beginning. Who knows what happened with the 5 seasons in between?
Yeah, I know. Seasons kind of 4 through 6 are kind of the mystery seasons.
That's right.
I think Supergirl was in there somewhere.
That's right. And she showed up a couple times here. Obviously, she was in that last episode. Yeah. Aquaman, right, had a pretty big role. Yeah, so by this time, you know, Green Arrow was an established, you know, supporting character.
Right.
So that's true. That is kind of interesting. So, yeah, we can't say that we're Smallville completists here, you know, completionists or whatnot. You know, maybe if you put together our combined knowledge, you know, we're like halfway there. But you had said you started tuning in to this season recently, right?
Just knowing that it was going to end and knowing that they were planning a 2-hour finale, it's like, well, you know, I remembered enjoying watching the show years ago, so I thought I should get back into it. I should check out the finale. Because, you know, again, I got to see those red boots.
And, that's right.
So, yeah, but only the last couple of weeks I've been watching again. I must be able to catch up pretty quick, I think.
Yeah. What did you – okay, let me ask you this. What did you think of the Lex Luthor stuff?
It was interesting. His kind of coming back from the dead was a little kind of, I don't know, odd.
Yeah. But, they really know, had kind of closed that door. I mean, they had closed that narrative loop, and that was in season 8, I think. You know, I mean, he essentially got blown up. So it was, and they probably thought, oh, Rosenbaum's never coming back. So, I guess if you got to do it, might as well go this route.
But yeah, Rosenbaum and Tom Welling have always had great chemistry on the show. That's the two of them and their back and forth is really what made those first 3 or 4 seasons really enjoyable. You know, Lana Lang, you know, okay, sure. do we want to go there?
Nah. Well, there is, I'm telling you, there is a very aggressive and like strong-willed subculture in Smallville fandom that clings desperately to the notion that Clark will end up with Lana Lang and stuff.
Really? Well, good for them.
It really is. It's like, we hate Lois. Lois sucks. Lois is not right for Clark. It's Lana, you know? But you're talking about, like, only the most iconic couple in comic book history ever, right? So, okay, I guess you could try to do some revisionism, but it's a losing battle, I think.
Yeah. Well, let's get back to Lois for a minute, because there's a lot to say about her. But in terms of Clark and Lex, it's the two of them, they had such great chemistry in those first couple of seasons.
Yeah.
And their back and forth scenes were always like the best scenes on the show, and so we got kind of a revisit to that, and you know, their sort of, you know, heart to heart moment there in the burned down mansion was definitely a callback, I think, to those first couple of episodes when Clark would always show up at the mansion and they would have some kind of heart to heart, and mm-hmm. and yet, you know, Lex would always be, you know, playing some angle that Clark was unaware of. And you know, that those days of sort of the budding friendship with the hint of secrecy are over, and now all their cards are out on the table. So it's really, really come in full circle with their sort of, you know, friendship slash, you know, rivalry.
And it captured, I thought the writing was pretty good there, because I mean, you know, Lex, you know, again, in my minimal experience of Superman comics, you know, Lex, you know, there's definitely some envy there, right? You know, like right. If Lex wants that power, and he was resentful. You know, maybe he was resentful of Clark for not kind of embracing that power. And I thought that came through nicely in that exchange. And I thought there was something they got at something interesting with the fact that Lex is judging himself as a villain. Like, he wants Clark to succeed as Superman because he knows he'll become this legendary villain opposite him. You know, I thought that was kind of interesting. You know, they eventually kind of they use a plot device, which I'd never heard of. I guess Tess's blood or something, right, wiped out his memories.
Right, yeah.
I mean, I guess it had to happen, I suppose, you know, in the canon or whatever. You got to have Lex kind of start from scratch and unearth all these things from the beginning.
That's true.
So, I mean, it was kind of a cop-out, but I liked his little flashbacks, and it was a nice little pullback scene. So, and a great little, isn't Lex Luthor president in the current DC universe, right?
Not sure the current DC universe, but there was a long stretch there for quite a few years where he was president, and they surprisingly, it wasn't just a stunt. They got quite a lot of good stories out of it, which was surprising.
Okay.
When I first heard, Lex Luthor was president, I'm like, oh, they're trying to sell comics, but they got some real good mileage out of it.
So. Yeah, so that was a nice shout out too, right at the, you know, you see that scene at the end, the 7 years advance.
And we're going back to the first or second season where the psychic lady gave him the vision of his future and he was in the Oval Office.
Oh, really? Okay, nice. Nice. So let's talk about the Lois relationship. In fact, the bulk of the first part of this two-parter was devoted to the Clark-Lois, you know, relationship and, you know, and the marriage and kind of, I don't know, really that transition of Clark kind of deciding where to have all his past fit into his current self, you know, how to incorporate that. I thought it was great. I thought it went really well. I thought they articulated that relationship, the Superman-Lois relationship, which I think is pretty compelling as far as comic book goes, just because she is that kind of anchor for him, right? I mean, isn't that traditionally what it's been?
Absolutely.
You know, as his wife, just that, you know, the person that keeps him, you know, grounded. They use the word grounded, but, you know, so he feels part of the world. And he doesn't feel like this godlike figure who's separate from everybody. So I thought that came across nicely.
Yeah, you hit that perfectly on the head there, is that, yeah, the first hour really got to the heart of who these two characters are, and they did so really respectfully to their long history over the years. Not just within the show, but within, you know, the greater history of these characters going back to the 30s. And, you take a look at Superman, you think, you know, oh, well, you know, he's got all these powers and he's indestructible and he's from another planet. How do you make him relatable?
Right.
And, you know, how do you make the audience connect with him? And you do that with his relationship with Lois and his friends, and but mainly with Lois. And, you know, that's what sort of, you know, brings out his human side. And you get to, you know, you get to know him as a person and not just as a guy who can, you know, destroy a planet with a single punch.
Well, as a god, really, you know, as this kind of god separate from, you know, the world that he saves. You know, it kind of keeps him connected. I thought that scene where they're on either side of the door, I thought that was nicely done. You know,
it was really well done.
They swivel around it. I mean, they're exchanging their vows and they're really kind of putting it out there. And I thought, again, you know, Lois was saying, you know, you make me a better person. I need to make you a better man and a better hero. And to me, it's like, wow, yeah, that's it. You know, to me, that's a great representation. I mean, I know, like, I'm not trying to dump on the Superman movies. I never quite connected the Margot Kidder Lois Lane. That's probably just because they had him, like, mind wipe her so many times. You know, it just kind of was meaningless, and she was barely in the third one, and the fourth one sucked balls. So I mean, she was feisty as Lois Lane, but as far as, like, Superman Returns, I thought it was just a dead trout as far as that relationship goes. So to me, this representation, and I didn't watch nearly enough Lois and Clark, I guess, to get to that. But I thought this representation really, to me, got to what I like about that pairing, and kind of what I like about Superman in general. How he's just, he's so powerful. So how does he stay connected? You know.
Right. And again, if I can turn back to those first couple of seasons where the romance was all about Clark and Lana. Then somewhere, I think it was season 4, maybe 5, I don't remember when, but They introduced Lois out of nowhere. And this is, I think, where a lot of those fans are like, what? But it's supposed to be Smallville, and he's Superboy, and that was Lana. And, boy, in her first couple of seasons, Erica Durance, I think is how it's pronounced.
Right.
In her first couple of episodes, her first year on the show, she was not quite up to par, shall we say.
Okay.
She really grated, and she really laid on the whole headstrong feistiness thing really thick.
Okay.
And I can see why she rubbed a lot of the fans the wrong way. Her performance tonight and in the last couple of episodes I've watched for the last few weeks has been a real revelation. She has just really grown so much as an actress since those first couple of episodes.
That's interesting, because I had only seen her from season 8, and even like season 8, there was something there. You know, there was that connection already. Like under Truth Serum, she admitted that she loved Clark. So, I mean, they were at that point when I first started watching, you know. So just the
real sort of, you know, just the super obnoxious, rubs everybody the wrong way Lois is kind of gone, and now she's sort of become classic Lois.
Right.
And she's so much better now.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
That I'm just really amazed, so.
Absolutely. And I liked how they did in the show, again, kind of comparing like in the Superman movies, like Lois falls in love really with Clark, you know, not, you know, she's got kind of a crush on, you know, on the Superman character, or the Blur, as they call him, or, you know, some kind of an infatuation. But she actually, you know, Clark is who she kind of flips for. So it's not like, you know, it's not like Lois in the Superman movies where it's like she's gaga for Superman, you know, and that's it.
Yeah.
So I like that too. And then when it kind of came together, it was a great moment, and she realized that they were one and the same. That was earlier in the season, and you know, that was a lot of fun. And then it did. I think you're right. It allowed Erica Durance and the writers, I think, to kind of take those shackles off, you know, and really have her get to that classic Lois place. You know, certainly figure out how does she relate to someone of Superman's power, granted, but you know, but do it so it's less obnoxious. I mean, when she broke up the wedding, she did it, you know, it was sudden, but she did it obviously because she felt she was in the way. So it wasn't like she was, you know, to me that wasn't like an obnoxious, grating thing. She's like, she felt like, oh, don't waste your time with me. And then, you know, there's some nice lines in the beginning, you know, where she's like, you're not in the way, I want you by my side, you know. That's pretty good stuff, actually. I thought that was pretty effective.
Yeah, I agree. I think the whole calling off the wedding thing might have just been sort of a setup or an excuse to sort of reestablish who these two are so they could have their heart-to-heart.
That's true. Yeah, that's a good point. And you know what? I'm fine with that.
Right.
You know? I mean, as a cliffhanger for the last episode, yeah, it felt kind of tacked on, or maybe just used as a cliffhanger for cliffhanger's sake. But whatever. If it got us that great interaction at the apartment and some of the great dialogue, then I'm happy about that. And I actually liked how they hadn't found time to get married yet, you know?
Right.
Like that, and 7 years later, they were going to find some time to do that. So I thought that was pretty nice. So did you like the kind of bookended comic book reading, you know, or because Chloe is like the first who calls him Superman, right?
Yeah, unless they drop the name somewhere else in the show.
Yeah, no,
like as a hint, but
yeah, no, I think that was it. You know,
I think that that was, at least tonight, that was the only time we heard it.
And it was obviously, that's Oliver's kiddo, we're thinking, right? That's obviously.
Yes.
It's got to be, right?
Arrows in
yeah.
the room, so he's taken away, yeah.
I will say that, you know, I could, what I liked about that was, I liked how, in these superhero movies, I like it when kids are there and they're kind of like wowed by the heroism of it all, you know? Like, I liked having, you know, the kid is there and Superman is awesome to him, you know? I like when they do that. Like, for example, in Batman Begins, you know, there was a kid at the end and he was like, you know, Batman will save us. Or even in The Dark Knight, you know, Commissioner Gordon's son, like, looks at Batman as this really kind of heroic figure. And for some reason, I like that. That affects me in some way. And as contrived as the comic book thing may have been, and I don't think it was – I did hear some fan speculations like, oh, did all of Smallville take place in the comic book? You know, like it's some kind of, you know, the St. Elsewhere finale with the mind of the autistic child or something. And I don't think that's it. But I did like having the element of a kid in his bed reading a comic book thinking about how awesome Superman is. I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. Let's see. Anything else? I mean, it was a fast 2 hours. They had a lot in there. I mean, they had to get Lex in there. They had to resolve a bunch of story. They had to resolve Oliver's storyline. They had to resolve, you know, Tess died. You know, big deal, I guess. But, you know, having someone die is fine, I suppose. But a lot to do, a big checklist they had to hit. But I thought that it was – I thought it was remarkably streamlined, you know.
And it was packed, but it moved right along.
I didn't think there was any filler.
Tension, you know? Really built up to the end.
Yeah, I thought the effects were good. I like the big planet. I mean, is that Darkseid mythology, that planet?
Yeah, and it looks pretty close to the one in the old Jack Kirby comics. I think in the comics, though, you have to cross dimensions. You have to travel to another dimension to get to the planet. So it just can't fly up to Earth, I think. But, you know, that's neither here nor there.
Yeah. So, I mean, I really, you know, I just looked at my wife when it was done, and we just thought, man, that was good, you know? That was good. And it's... That's such a, let's be honest, you know, nailing those series finales, that's tough to do, you know, especially with a property like this, you know, and a show and a fan base, you know. Again, looking through comments, there are some people who seem to be disappointed, but it seems like overwhelmingly people really liked it and responded to it. So, I mean, I think you have to give props to the writers. I think they really delivered an appropriate series finale. Again, man, I love that music. You know, that music never gets old. I don't care if it was used on Superman 4. I don't care. It doesn't besmirch. You know. I thought, they did everything. They got everything down that they needed. So, so I was really impressed. And you got your red boots.
We got red boots. Yeah, so I'm happy.
And I mean, didn't you think it was still kind of surreal to see Superman in a Smallville episode, you know, Superman actually Superman?
Yeah, it kind of was, I guess. I mean,
you had 10 years of just hinting and Clark and wearing his red and blue, you know, shirts and stuff. And, you know, right. He had a couple other things. But, I mean, to me, it was just like almost surreal to think, oh, you know. Again, you never saw the full body. You know, it wasn't like Tom Welling standing there in a full body thing. And I'm, you know, I'm okay with that for sure, but it still was a little surreal, actually, just to see, wow, that's Superman, you know, flying around in Smallville.
Yeah, I mean, after all this time, he's, the show kept telling us that, you know,
right,
he's got his destiny and he's going to become Superman someday, and now it's finally happened. And, you know, I mean, most shows never get to kind of build over time and
right,
have that kind of a payoff, and it's a very rare thing.
Yeah, and again, for its ups and downs, and you know, there's certainly been some creative dry spells here and there, but I think overall you can judge it as a success and just a great capper. And I think Superman fans would be appreciative of this. It's not like they took a dump on any kind of mythology at all, you know.
Well, they did. They played around with the mythology, that's for sure.
Oh, of course, absolutely.
But overall, I think I thought, you know, despite some both good times and bad over the show's run, they've been very respectful to the character. And the show has even influenced the comics. You know,
Okay.
Chloe Sullivan was created for the show, and now she's a regular in the comics.
Is she really? Interesting. Yeah. Okay.
And, in other little ways, too, you know, the way that they've depicted Smallville whenever, you know, he goes back home, that's, you know, people have said that, you know, they've seen influences of the show in that. So,
yeah. Well, I think for me, I guess the best thing I could say about it, the whole experience, especially the finale, was that, like, I thought it just really captured the spirit of Superman, you know, kind of what makes Superman a compelling character, because he is compelling. I mean, he's got to be top of the heap, right? Number one, 1A, 1B, as far as influential and as far as, you know, comic bookdom goes. But, I mean, it got at what I found interesting about him, you know, his relationships and, you know, how does he relate to everybody, and then obviously the becoming of who he is. And I feel like, I mean, it's a bummer that I don't have any more Smallville episodes to watch, but it feels like I don't need to see anything else, you know.
Right.
I mean, I don't need to see him flying around now punching, I don't know, who in the face, right?
I don't know, Toyman?
Bizarro, yeah, I guess.
Mr. Mrs. Pitilick.
So, I don't know. So that's probably the best thing I'd say. I think that these guys, you know, the producers, the writers, the actors, even, you know, good on Tom Welling. He stuck with it, you know, and he really made, I thought he did well with the character and, you know, obviously enjoyed it, had a passion for it. So I thought they really got at the core. And I think that's what made it a success for me. So, and again, we've covered for you, it's the Red Boots. So, yeah, maybe not as nuanced and cultured and refined as my take, but hey, if you enjoyed it, I'm happy. So, all right. Well, I don't know. I guess that's another chapter to close on a show that's, man, been running forever.
I know. It's crazy. It's been around. It's, I think about where I was when I watched that first episode. Man, it's just seems like a long time ago, and yet not that long ago.
That's right.
I just did a Charles Dickens thing there.
There you go. It's hard to make superhero shows, you know?
Yeah.
So, but I think these guys did it. So, bravo. Good job, everybody involved with Smallville. And that probably pretty much concludes our postmortem. So, thanks for listening. And I don't know, up and away, I guess, Mac, right?
Somebody save me.